Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Ms. Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, listeners. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you're listening to Living by Design. Welcome, everyone. I'm not sure where you're listening in from, but over here in the state of Indiana, we are snowed in. We are snowed in. And I mean, it is some serious snow here where I am, Tony. I'm in southern Indiana, and you're in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, I'm in the central part of the state, and we received the sixth largest snow that we've ever received since they started recording. I think the largest was in 1910, and it was about 18 inches of snow. And today, since Monday, over the last couple of days, we received about a foot and a half of snow. So we're digging out right now today. It stopped snowing earlier this morning, and pretty much everything was shut down.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I think I haven't even been out today to even measure it. I've been listening to the news, and they have declared the entire state of Kentucky an emergency, what do they call it, state of emergency or emergency area, and southern Indiana as well. So they have declared it a disaster or whatever they call it when it's a, you know, just it's you really shouldn't be out on the road unless it's an absolute emergency. Even the 911 systems weren't working. The phone lines were, I don't know if the wires were frozen or what the problem was, but the 911 system wasn't working, so they were telling people not to go out.
Yeah, probably inundated with so many calls. And they didn't do that up here, but they did. I was monitoring, you know, other parts of the state and the neighboring states, and I did see that. And what happens most of the time, they do it primarily so they can get out and clear the roads and clear the areas, because if people try to go out and they get stuck, then they have to tow those vehicles, move those vehicles, and it's just going to, you know, be a hassle. Whereas if people stay home, they can clear the roads and make it a little bit easier for folks to venture out in a day or two. So they normally do that to make it easy.
That's true. And I know that I also heard on the news that over 100,000 people are without power here in the state of Kentucky and southern Indiana.
Wow.
So, and it's closer to 200,000 when you count the state of Kentucky and southern Indiana. So it's pretty serious. They're telling people not to go to work, not to go to school, the colleges, everything is closed unless you absolutely have to. So this is a great spot to be right now, just, you know, cozy and where we can do our show, and hopefully everyone is able to listen and dial in or come into the chat room and join us, get you some popcorn and sit back and relax.
Yeah, absolutely. Those of you that were able to sit back and relax all day, I had to go to my other job.
Well, Tony, you're always working.
So I was out in it. So yeah.
You're the hardest working man in broadcasting. I know Tom Joyner says he is, but I don't know. I think it's a toss up between you two.
Well, Tom's studio is close to his house. Mine is in another town. So yeah, it's difficult sometimes to get around. But you know, we have one of those jobs where the people rely on you, and if you're not there and you can't broadcast and you can't tell them what's going on, it kind of hurts them. So you try to find a way to get in. So I got in this morning. Yeah.
Right. I know they really depend on you, the voice of Tony Lamont. They look forward to that. Well, as you know, Tony, tonight's topic is one that I am so excited about, and I know it's going to be very interesting to our listeners, especially our female listeners, because we have an outstanding individual joining us, our guest, Mr. Mark Delaney. He has been tagged as the Hitch for Women. Remember that movie, Hitch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has been tagged as a hit for women, so his credentials are really, really great, and I am just really excited about talking to Mark and bringing him on the line here shortly. But before I do that, I want to just kind of give my listeners a sneak preview of our show. Next week we're going to be talking to Tracy Tresider, and we're going to be talking to Tracy about communication gap, helping parents deal with their teens and adult children, because, you know, Tony, as you know, you have adult children, and that can be a challenge. So we're going to have Tracy.
And a teen.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to have Tracy here with us next week to talk about that and help our listeners with some of those issues. So getting back to tonight's topic, and, you know, again, I'm going to just kind of give you guys a little intro about Mark. I'll let him talk more about his bio when he comes on the line, but I just wanted to let my listeners know that Mark is an outstanding individual. He is a true relationship coach. And I have had the pleasure of speaking to him on several occasions about this upcoming interview, and he is just a tell-it-like-it-is kind of guy. He'll give you exactly what you ask for. So if you don't want the truth, don't ask Mark, because he is going to give you the truth. And sometimes being a life coach, that can be very difficult for fear of hurting someone's feelings. And, you know, Tony, I struggle with that quite a bit. But you have to be able to have that gift of being able to tell someone the truth objectively, because that's what people pay for. I mean, they need to hear that. They need to have the strength to accept it if they want to make the changes to improve their life. So I really have to give him a plug, because he's very, very good with that. So with that, I am going to go ahead and bring Mr. Mark Delaney on the line. Mark, are you there?
I am here and excited to be here, by the way. Hello, Tony. Hello, Kathy. How are you guys doing this evening?
Fine, thank you, Mark.
We are great. We are great, and we're anxious and excited to get this topic going. And I tell you, Mark, I have received so many email notes about this topic. So we are going to have a great time this evening, and I don't know if you heard our intro or not, but we're both snowed in. I'm in southern Indiana, and Tony's in central Indiana, and we're snowed in. So we are just going to sit back and have a great discussion here this evening, and we are going to let you lead us down the path of happy relationships.
Okay. Well, I am in Rochester, New York, and I am snowed in too. And I want to say I almost didn't come on the show tonight, because I've heard Tony speak before, and his voice is really, you know, he got one of those radio voices, and I just didn't know if I would measure up. But I decided I would come through. I prayed about it, and I'm here. So I want to say thank you to you for having me. I want to give a silent plug or a special plug to Deborah Walton in Louisville for introducing us. I want to thank you, Tony, for sharing this mic with me. And I want to thank every listener who listens tonight. And I just pray that something I say touches every person who hears my voice tonight.
Well, absolutely.
Oh, Mark, well, that's beautiful. Thank you very much. And we are excited that you accepted our invitation. Yeah, Deborah Walton is a dear, dear friend of mine as well. So if she is listening, I'm giving her a double shout out. So thank you for that.
And I also want to say, you know, my prayers go out to you, because for one of the rare times, you guys sound like you have a storm that was worse than ours. We didn't get the ice. We just got the snow. So we don't have as much trouble as you sounds like you're having down there. So I just want you to know that my prayers go to everyone down there also.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think Tony and them up in central Indiana are having it worse than we are here in southern Indiana. Tony, you all have over a foot or a foot, don't you?
Yeah, we had over a foot, but I think the difference what Mark was saying for you is we didn't get the ice. You guys got the ice.
You didn't get the ice there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, we didn't get the ice. So we just got all this wet snow, and then it became very fluffy, and it's blown around, and we've got 3- and 4-foot drifts. But nevertheless, it was still hard to get around. So absolutely. But, yeah, it's bad. The country got hit pretty good this last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. It sure did. But anyway, so I know our listeners are anxious to hear from you, Mark. So we're going to just jump in here. If you want to just go ahead and give our listeners a brief intro of you, your services, what you do, and how well you do it.
Okay, well, I am a woman's relationship consultant, and to my knowledge, I am the only male who actually makes it his mission to work specifically with females to help them get the things they want from men and in relationships. Except I don't just work with females. I work with good women, women who want the right relationship, because I believe that nothing blesses a man more than finding his good woman. And I am living proof of that because my wife and I, Cheryl, she is truly a blessing to me. I could not imagine life without her. And I want every man to experience that. And I think the best way for me to accomplish that is to help women become the woman who is capable of enjoying that relationship. And nothing impacts a man more than the women in his life. I believe the most powerful woman in a man's life is the woman the man is sleeping with. I believe the only person who has more power is the woman he wants to sleep with. And too many women give away their power by sleeping with the man too soon or at the wrong time instead of doing it at the right time when she can fully maximize her power. So, ladies, what I can promise you today is I will never give you a simple answer. I'll never give you a judgmental answer, and I will never give you society's answers to relationship problems. I've spent 20 years studying people who are successful. I've spent all my life as a man, and I've specifically studied the women who succeed with men and in relationships to see what makes them different from all the women who struggle with men and in relationships. And I can tell you there are some dramatic differences between those two groups of women. But most importantly, what I really want you to understand is that I believe God intended for a man and a woman to be together and live happily ever after. And I believe that there's a lot more to relationships than what we see on TV. And I think chasing the images that they show us on TV, the love at first sight, the instant gratification, the instant passion is what causes so many people not to have a very good look at true relationships. So my goal is really to help women understand how they impact men. One of the biggest complaints I get from women is that more and more men expect the women to take care of them. More and more men don't want commitments. They can't be trusted. They're not faithful. And I just like to show some women how they play a role in that. I'm not saying it's their fault, but I'm saying they do play a role in those things. And those are some of the things I hope we get to talk about tonight.
Well, Mark, I want to just say to you, and, you know, as I stated before you came on the line, I have had some conversations with you prior to our interview tonight, and I know you are a straight shooter, and I want you to shoot straight tonight. The callers that we have that come on to ask questions, if there are any questions posted in the chat room, we are here to get to the bottom truth, to the bottom line truth. That's what everybody's looking for, and we all want the same thing. We want a successful relationship. So if you want a successful relationship, you have to be willing to hear the truth, and that's what we're here to do tonight. So with that, I am going to, Mark, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go ahead and pose the first question to you. And you kind of just touched on this already, but, you know, I see a lot of articles, and as I mentioned, a lot of people have emailed me their questions. So some of these are going to come from people that have emailed, and some are going to just come from me, but this is coming from someone that emailed me, and they see a lot of articles on people that are married to their best friend, and they have fun, loving relationships with their significant other, and they've been married for many, many years, and they just still consider that person to be their best friend. And they're emailing me wanting to know, how is that possible? How can you still, after 15-plus years of marriage, still be calling your spouse your best friend and, you know, the most important person in your life, which is actually how it should be, by the way. So tell them, Mark.
Well, first of all, I think that's an excellent question. And believe it or not, I believe I have the answer. Now, I want to just first of all say to that person, to everyone else, there was a time in my life when I didn't get it either. I used to hear someone saying, oh, they're my soulmate, they're my best friend. I couldn't imagine life without them. And I could not relate until I met the woman who became my wife, and today she is my best friend. She is my everything, and I can't imagine life without her. So here's what I think it is. Now, I hope that your listeners understand that my foundation, everything I talk about, everything I teach women, usually comes directly from the Bible. And so in Genesis,
great,
chapter 2, verse 17, and really hang on a second. Let me get the correct verse. I apologize.
All right.
It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. It says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Do you know how many people I talked to who walked down the wedding aisle knowing there was going to be problems in their marriage?
Oh, yes.
Do you know how many people I talked to who really spent their entire dating time, their engagement time, pretending to be someone they're not? In other words, not doing this. You know, they didn't want to do this because they knew that would upset the person. They didn't want to do that because they didn't want to upset the person. They kept secrets because they didn't want to tell the other person that they actually had faults. And I think that when I read that verse, what I hear is that I need to be myself when I'm dating so I can be myself when I'm married. And if you take someone who can't be themselves when they're dating, at some point they're either going to be very miserable or they're going to have their real self come out and make the other person miserable. So I think the real key to a successful marriage is before you marry, make sure you're free to be yourself at all times. Tell them every secret. Tell them everything you don't like about them. Let them tell you everything you don't like about them. Just have open conversation. And when you get this stuff out in the open and you still want to be together and you truly can be free, I think that's more powerful than even love. I think that's more powerful than any other state you can be in with another person. Why is your best friend your best friend? Because you can be yourself, right?
That's right.
I mean, Tony, you have a best friend, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you're his best friend and he's your best friend because you guys can talk and be real with one another. Am I right?
Right. Absolutely.
So I'm amazed at how many couples can't be real with one another. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine living with someone and I can't tell her, you know, I don't like it when you do that. And I can't imagine her not being able to tell me, you know, I don't like it when you do that. It doesn't mean we have to yell. We don't have to argue. But we should be able to say, I wish you stopped doing that.
And Mark, and you are absolutely right on. I totally 100 and gazillion percent agree with you. Because when you have that type of relationship where you can say what you feel without fear of the other person getting resentful or defensive or any of those types of things, that's what creates that bond, and that's what creates that closeness.
Right. I'm a man. I love physical intimacy. But I couldn't imagine being physically intimate with someone that I can't say, you know what, I don't like this. I can't imagine it for a long period of time. For the rest of my life being with someone that I have to walk around on eggshells with. And I think that Genesis chapter 2, verse 25 gives us a formula for how to build a successful relationship. If you're about to get married and you're walking down the aisle and you know that you're not being yourself, you haven't told your secrets. I don't watch soap operas, but I've watched enough to know that every secret seems to come back to haunt the person who thinks it's a secret.
Now,
and
Mark,
not
I
only
ask,
that, go ahead, Tony, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask this, Mark. One thing that in referencing the Bible and talking about relationships, I know the phrase that he who finds a good woman finds a good thing. In that aspect, and I'm paraphrasing it, but the bottom line is what we find out a lot of times, and maybe you can speak to this, there's a lot of times where the guy isn't the chaser, the woman is the chaser, and then she becomes disappointed because in the midst of the chase, she realizes that's not the person she wanted, where in reality, she just needed to be who she was, and the guy needed to find the best thing for himself within her. So can you speak to that a little bit?
I'm going to try my best to, and I hope I get to the point that you were making. I got a call today from someone who had heard about your radio show but couldn't listen to it. And she went to my website and she called me. And she says, I'm worried because I know a man likes a challenge. And I don't want to be too easy or too simple. I don't want to call him and tell him I love him and I miss him and I want to see him because I don't want him to feel like there's no challenge. And I told her, okay, you have got to stop thinking like that. Whatever you feel like doing that's appropriate, you need to do. Don't worry about how he feels. You want to find out before you marry him that he doesn't like the real you. And we went through that whole discussion about being free. But I think the real key that I need to tell, that I want everyone to understand, is you are going to spend the rest of your life with this person if you marry them. Do you want to spend the rest of your life pretending to be someone else? Did I address your point, Tony? I hope I got to the point that you were trying to make.
Yeah, you did. I think the main thing is I wanted to get the point across because so many women have a tendency to look at themselves as if they don't do a certain thing or a certain way or act a certain way, the guy is not going to like them or be with them. Whereas, you know, if he's looking for someone special, that special trait may be in you, but sometimes he doesn't get a chance to see it because you're acting a different way. So, yeah, you addressed it, definitely.
Okay. I would like to address another issue that deals with relationships and how they begin. I went to Atlanta, Georgia, and I hear there's 10 women for every man in Atlanta. And I don't believe it, but that's what I hear. That's what they tell me, so I'll accept it. And what it ends up happening with when women are in competition with one another, they decide to compete trying to be the most sexy or the most sexual. And what ends up happening is instead of getting the man, they end up being one of 10 women dating the same man. So ladies, if you truly want to be special, I say don't have sex with them. They can have sex with anybody. If your goal and your mission in life is to be married, don't do what everybody else is doing. Don't lower your blouse, raise your skirt, show your stomach. Don't do that. Do the exact opposite. Be someone he can take home to his mom. He can say, I've been with this woman, this woman, this woman. But, you know, this one over here, man, she's really special. She's holding out for something special. So if you're going to compete, compete by being different. Don't compete by following what all the other women are doing at the clubs and in other places.
Mm. Oof, boy, I mean, you are smoking hot this evening. Now, Mark, I'm just going to check a couple. I'm going to go to the lines here and check a couple of the callers to see if they're just listening or if they have a question, okay? So, because
okay.
This is a live show and people call in. So I'm going to go to area code 313. Area code 313, you're on the line. Do you have a question or are you just listening? Okay. Okay. Area code 804. Do you have a question or are you just listening?
No, I'm listening very intently and I'm very.
Okay. Oops. That caller, I suddenly got disconnected. I'm not sure what happened. Mark, are
well,
you
Well, hopefully they'll call back. Hopefully they'll call
I am. I am still here.
Okay. Great. Okay. Well, yeah, they'll call back. He said he was listening very intently, and then he kind of went away. So, but at any rate, so we're going to just kind of move right on with the question. So one question that I got actually from several people, Mark, and this is one that it's kind of a twofold question. Several people, about 12 different people, emailed and wanted to know where are good places to meet quality guys. And then several of those people even ask about online dating. Where are good quality places to meet good guys? Where are good quality places to meet quality guys? And is online dating a suitable place to meet a quality guy? Your opinion about that.
Well, I would like to say that, number one, I have never done online dating, so I can't really speak to that. I've always wanted to do it just to check it out, to see what it's like and see what you come up with. I could never get beyond putting my picture on the website for people to look over and say, nah, I don't like that. But that's just me.
Yeah, but that's basically what they're doing is they're assessing the physical.
Correct.
And then again, you do that when you go out in a club, too. So, I mean, everybody does that no matter where you are, whether it's online or in person.
Right. But, I mean, I couldn't get over me personally putting my picture up there for other people. I don't mind looking at their pictures. But I didn't want my picture up there. And I can admit that. I'll say that. That's a frailty on my part. But as far as meeting people, I like to think that I am a quality guy. And I go shopping. I go to church. I go just about anywhere. There's no telling where you can meet someone. I think that there are places you wouldn't go to meet someone. I would say it's easier to define that. Nightclubs typically are not the place to meet the type of man I think we're looking for. I think what's most significant is that it's not where you meet them, it's what happens when you meet. I think that that's more important than actually where, because you can meet somebody anywhere. In Rochester, I got into a debate with a group of women, should you let a man know you're interested? And I was like, well, what kind of question is that? Of course you should. And they were like, oh, no, our pastor says you never chase a man. I said, I didn't say chase. I said, let him know you're interested. If the right woman smiles at a man that he's attracted to, he usually will take over from there. At church, you would think that would be the perfect place to meet the type of man you're looking for, but everyone who goes to church is not necessarily a godly person. They're just a churchgoer, and there's a difference.
Right.
Where to meet, I can't answer specifically because you can go someplace, and I've gone places, and my friend met somebody. This was years ago. My friend met somebody, and I didn't meet anybody. I think it's more state of mind. I think it's more what receptors are you sending out so that the right people know you're available and they know what kind of person you are. That's important because, again, I talk about don't lower your blouse, don't raise your skirt to get attention, but I do believe your positiveness, your positive beauty can attract attention from the type of man you want to pay you attention.
Now Marco.
Go ahead, Don.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Mark, I wanted to ask you, you said earlier about the successful relationships, and what is the common denominator in your studies and in your research? What is the common denominator that the women have, the trait that they have that makes the relationship successful? Because it has to be something that you see, a way maybe that they're acting that is common throughout that basically says this is what works if you do this, if you act this way, or is it individual characteristic?
Okay, I think there are a couple of things that go to answer that question. And keep in mind, it's different in many cases, but there's some things that they do have in common. Number one, powerful women, and that's what I call them, powerful women do not need someone else to complete them. They don't need a man or anyone else to make them feel whole and sleep well at night. They like to have someone in their lives because it adds to the quality of both their lives, but they're not doing it because they lack financially, because they're lonely, because they want a father for their kids, because they want to have children. In other words, they get married because the two shall become 11. You know, one man, one woman becomes 11 instead of one woman gets with somebody simply because there's something missing in her. So the first thing that I would suggest that all women do is get whole yourself. Be powerful, not need someone, because the most powerful women in the world make relationship decisions based on the merits of the man and the relationship, not her perceived weaknesses or needs. Does that make sense? Because that's very, very important. Does that make sense to both of you?
Absolutely.
It definitely makes sense to me, and I would even like to add to that and say that goes both directions. I think both individuals have to be whole within themselves. They have to be confident within themselves. They have to know that they are bringing a fully functional person to the relationship. And when I say functional, I'm referring to spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically functional. If any of those areas are broken, in my opinion, if any of those areas are broken, then you're not going to be able to have a successful relationship because it will manifest itself.
I agree, and I agree about the males. I just said since we're talking mostly to women, I figured I would just talk about the women. The second thing is that I think you have to really have two people. There's this thing called soulmates. I'm sure we've all heard soulmates, and I've seen a lot of men and women who said, oh, I met my soulmate this week, and then 3 months later, they were devastated because that person hurt them. I think there's something higher than soulmates, and I think it's called spiritual mates. If you think about what your soul is your will. It's your desires. It's the direction in life you're moving in. So let's say person A and person B are on the same path in life, and they become soulmates. That's cool. Until person A or person B decides, you know what, I want to go left instead of going right. And what happens is two people who used to be soulmates, who used to think and do everything alike, all of a sudden one of them says, and I want to go over here, and the first person still wants to go that way, all of a sudden you don't have soulmates anymore. You have two people going in different directions. I think what's higher than soulmates, and a lot of women who enjoy the relationships you're talking about, become spiritual mates. A spiritual mate is two people who give their lives to God, who believe in Jesus Christ and follow him and let him lead them both in the same place. And so if I wake up one morning and decide, you know what, I'm 35 years old and I want to have a midlife crisis, I want to start going to bars every night, my relationship with God will keep me from even really thinking about that. I think the way I talk to my wife because of my spiritual relationship is different than it used to be when I was just trying to be respectful to my first wife, if that makes sense. So I think that those are two very powerful things. Both people are whole and complete by themselves, and then when they get together, someone said this to me when I first married, and they said, your relationship with each other will be a reflection of your relationship with God. And I truly believe that. When two people are following their own wills, they're subject to change. When they're following God's will or trying to fall in line with what God says they should do, they tend to treat each other better. They tend to go in the same direction all their lives. It's just a better situation. So those are two things.
Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely, 100% agree. Now, let's take a different turn here because I really want to get this one in. This question was posed through email. And, Mark, I tell you, there's so much of this going on, and I really need for you to shoot straight from the hip and tell it like it is on this one. Three people wrote in and asked this same question. Talk about married men who cheat and married women who cheat. Why in the world do people get married if they're going to cheat?
Okay, I think there's a couple of reasons why people cheat, men or women. I think the first reason is that they were dogs when you first met them. You thought by marrying them they would change, but they stayed dogs. So if that makes sense, that's the first reason. They always were going to be cheaters. I remember going to a wedding, and one of the toasts was, I know your husband likes women, but if you just pray for him, everything will be okay. So everyone at the wedding knew this man was a cavorter, but she still married him anyway. A lot of people think people change when they get married. They don't. So one reason people cheat is because that's what they've always done. A second reason that people cheat is because sometimes people get married because they fall in love with each other. They are so in love that they never, ever considered what life would be like with the person. They just knew how much they were in love. And one day, something happened. They fell out of love. And when they fall out of love, all of a sudden, the physical attraction's not there, the warm feelings, the gaga, goo, goo, all that stuff is gone. And so now you have someone who's sleeping with someone every night. You have two people sleeping with the other every night who really don't want to touch each other. So one person goes out of the relationship and finds somebody else. I think the third reason that people cheat is because especially women have this idea that if I'm mad at my husband, I'm going to withhold sex from him. And the younger a man is, the less likely he is to go without it. So if the wife decides, hey, I'm not giving it to him, she's mistaken if she thinks that means he's not going to get any ever. So I think there's three reasons. I'm not saying any of them are right. I'm not saying any of them are okay. But that's an indication. Those are some of the reasons why people cheat. They always were going to cheat no matter what you did. They fell in love, and they fell out of love, and now they don't care for each other. They just want to find somebody else to fall in love with. Or the withholding of privileges will cause someone to stray. I'll give you another one. There are men whose jobs it is to do public things, like mine. I travel, I do stuff, and let's say everything I did was local, and I would invite my wife to come with me every place I went so she could be there and enjoy. But she never wanted to come. I mean, never wanted to come. All of a sudden, I'm around all these women, all this stuff going on, and I'm not saying any of them are right, but I'm saying people have a tendency, if they're not, again, that whole soulmate thing, if my wife's not with me, she kind of leaves me open to go out there and meet people who are more conducive to things that I like to do. And that's why it's so important people be spiritual mates. Again, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about answering the question is, why do people cheat?
Right. Now, also along that same line, if there is an individual that's cheating on his wife or a woman that's cheating on her husband, the chances are they will cheat on the next person. I mean, if I leave my husband to go with someone else, then that other person can't expect me to be true to him, because if I cheated on my husband, I'm going to cheat on you too, because that's what I do.
You would think that would be true. That is correct. However, there are a lot of people who are proud of the fact that they can take somebody else's man or woman and then wonder why they're insecure every time that person leaves the house. So I agree with you. Unfaithful people tend to be unfaithful.
Period.
All the time.
Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Now, I have to say this because I'm a man who changed. I used to be different than I am today. So people do change.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
But you got to make sure they really changed. They didn't just say they changed.
Right, right.
Hey, you know, there's something I want to talk about real quick, if you guys don't mind.
Go ahead, absolutely.
Question. The question, where do I find a good man?
Okay, yes.
And I would like to encourage every woman in the audience to stop trying to find a good man and focus on finding the man for her. Because every time I, quote, was in a relationship, that woman thought I was a good man. But that's not the issue, because obviously it didn't work out. When you find the person for you, you're finding that person who you can be free with, and they want the same relationship you want. Just because you find a good man doesn't mean he wants to be married, doesn't mean he wants to have a commitment. Good men, and again, we have to check our definition of what good men means, but not all good men are available for a serious, committed relationship. Some good men are fathers. Some good men work all the time. Some good men do things that are not conducive for the relationship that a woman might want to have with him. So make sure you stop looking for just a good man and look for the man that's made for you.
Now, I'm going to have to jump in on that, because I want to elaborate a little bit on that, because I have a friend that's in a situation that, you know, kind of matches what you just said. And she is in a relationship with a good man. He's a great man. But it doesn't appear that he is the right man for her because of the path that they're both on. You know, he's kind-hearted, he's spiritual, and, you know, he's got a great personality. But they don't seem to be, they don't appear to be equally yoked, and she can't figure out what she should do. And I'm telling her, first of all, she should pray about it. And, you know, I asked her, did this individual change from the way things used to be? She said he did. That, you know, in the beginning of the relationship, they were together a lot and everything was wonderful and great. And now it appears that she's not a priority for him anymore, that everything else comes first. And she has to wait. And he expects her to just wait. And whenever he has time for her, he'll throw her a little bit of time here and there. But he doesn't appear to have much time for her. So, and that's just what you just described. He's a good man, but he may not be the right man for her based on what she's looking for in a relationship.
And that's why I say everything goes back to being free. If you are not free to be yourself and be happy
right.
with someone, they're not the one for you. They can be the best person ever, but they're not the one for you. No, I like to think, could you really marry? If the perfect man, as we describe as a gentleman, you know, hardworking and all stuff, that doesn't mean he's right for you. There are women who would prefer a guy who just works 40 hours a week and just came home and sat on the couch and watched TV with her all night long. There are women who would prefer that over the hardworking, ambitious, go-get-em type.
Right.
And that's okay. The thing is, just because someone's good doesn't mean they're the person for you. And I just would like to encourage everyone who's listening to my voice to stop looking for a good person and find the person that's really right for them.
Right, right. And I have another question here. Now, I know you and I talked a little bit about this, and I know a little bit about it myself, but I want you to talk about it from a relationship coach perspective. One of the questions says, I have read many places that codependency is a bad thing, but when you've been in a relationship for a number of years, how can you not be somewhat codependent if you're in love with the guy? That's what a lady wrote and asked.
Okay.
I guess she's asking, where do you stop codependency? At what point do you cut it off or manage it?
Well, I have to be honest. That seems like a psychological issue more so than for me than the type of relationship stuff that I do. But when I think of codependency, I think of two people who will fall apart without one another.
That's right.
And I think back to my advice earlier that until you're really a whole person, you are not the good person yourself. You're not a good partner in a relationship until you're able to stand on your own. So if two people are codependency brings people together and it seems like they're perfect for one another until one person does become whole and wonders why this other person is constantly depending on them for something. So what do you do when you're in a codependent relationship and you suddenly become whole? That's a tough situation. And that's why I think before people get into relationships, they really need to make sure they're whole themselves. It saves you a lot of trouble later.
Yeah,
all right, Mark, I want to ask you this, because you said whole. How can a woman, and I can say man too, but since we're specifically speaking to women in the show, how can a woman recognize that she is whole? Because you'll be in situations, and I've had this myself, where I'll meet a woman and the woman seems very whole and very self-assured and very confident and everything, and then it turns out that there were issues and things going on, and she really wasn't whole, and she said she was, and she felt she was at the time. So how does a woman recognize that she is whole, that she no longer has those things that are keeping her down and allowing her to have dependent relationships and things like that? How do you recognize that? What are the things that they need to look for within themselves?
Well, first of all, I think there's two kinds of pillow talk. The first kind of pillow talk is the kind of talk that we guys use to get women into bed with us. The second type of pillow talk is the type of talk that people talk to themselves when they actually go to bed alone. And all the things that they're afraid of, all the things that pop into their head about how come this could go wrong or why this won't work and why, when people say things like, oh, he's too good for me or she's too good for me or this is too good for me, I really, really worry about that person. That person is probably not whole if they think that someone else is too good for them. I think that when you know that if you marry this person, you're going to be better in ways that have really more to do with that specific person than finding the person for you. For example, if I am in debt and I see somebody who's got money and I think that marrying him is going to solve my problem, I'm not whole. Now, I'm not saying that people of different financial backgrounds can't marry, but I'm saying when you're specifically marrying that person because they've got more money than you, that's not a good thing. I think it's true the opposite. If you're a woman with tons of money and you see a guy who's broke and you feel good helping him out, I don't think that that's a good reason to feel like you're coming to his rescue. If you're going to save him and build him up, that's not a good reason to marry. There's something in you that wants to be somebody's mother, not necessarily somebody's wife. Mm-hmm. I think you have to listen to that voice in your head when you go to bed that talks to you about all your fears. So, Tony, the answer, I think, is honesty. People have to be honest with themselves. I've seen so many people talk big in public, but I happen to know that they cry every night when they go to bed for all the things they're afraid of, all the things they're worried about. And so the first thing is honesty. I think being honest with yourself is the best thing you can do for your next relationship.
And I want to add, I know you said, how can you determine whether or not the individual is whole? Tony, that was your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it might go even back to what you said initially, Mark, when you talked about if you can be 100% open and honest with your partner about your feelings, your thoughts, your behaviors, or, you know, what's on your mind, that's so critical. And if you feel that there is something that is lacking or missing or needs to be modified or resolved, that needs to be an open forum. That needs to be an open forum. And if that's not there, then I don't know. That might have some bearing on the individual feeling like they can be whole. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, I think you're right. I think it is said a lot of people take their secrets to the grave. I think the worst thing a person can do is take their secrets down the wedding aisle. And I think that insecurity and not being whole causes you to feel like, I can't tell this person that, or else they'll not marry me. When you say that, you're not whole. Tony, does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I'll give you an example. And Kathy knows this story because I've shared it with her. I'm not ashamed that I do this when I do my public forums and have conversations about relationships myself, so I'm not saying something that I haven't said in public. Been married twice, got married very young, and then married later on in life in the relationship. We made better friends than we did husband and wife. But you talked about the marriage aisle, and it was just amazing because I remember after having the conversation with my second wife after our divorce, the conversation was very simple. But I remember saying to her, I knew when we were standing there in front of the minister that you didn't want to marry me. And she said, well, why didn't you say something? And I said, because I thought you would. And so
both of you were waiting.
We were both waiting, and we waited ourselves right into a marriage that ended anyway because it shouldn't have even happened. And so I totally understand that we both had the fear of communicating our true emotions and our true feelings when I felt, and what I said to her was, I got married to you with the option of not having a divorce, and that was your number one option. And there's no way that the two things, the marriage could last with those two attitudes going on.
That is correct. Hey, we're supposed to be doing some giveaways tonight and stuff like that. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, and I was going to wait till we got to a good breaking point to do that. And, you know, this might be a good breaking point to do that. So I want to let all of our listeners know in the chat room and the ones that are dialed in that we are going to, Mark is going to be generous enough to offer some giveaways. And I'm going to let him tell you about those giveaways, but what I'd like for you to do, just so that we can kind of keep a little bit of order to this, because something tells me we're going to be bombarded, is to please go to my website. There is a page on my website. It's go to the radio tab. It's www.chollowayhill.com, and I'll post it in the chat room. And click on the radio tab and sign up. Put your name in the pot for the giveaways, and then we will draw your name accordingly, and Mark will work with you. So, Mark, if you want to go ahead and tell them what you're giving away, that'd be great.
Well, I'm giving away a half-hour coaching session for people who want to. That I guess that's the grand prize, a half-hour coaching session for anyone who feels like talking with someone like me for a half hour would be a good thing for them, and anything that we talk about is fair game. That's one prize. The second prize is I write a lot of books that I never finish, and it helps me to formulate my thoughts. And those things are just sitting on my computer, and I thought, well, let's see if there's any interest in those. So they're unfinished, which means they haven't been edited or proofread, but they have the thoughts on paper. If anyone would like a set of books, I think there's six of them. They're called Unfinished Books. You know what? I think there's a lot of wisdom in there. And then a third prize is a set of finished books. In other words, I've published three books, A Woman's Guide to Understanding Men, a book that shows women how men think. I wrote a book called Lethal Sex. It's a book, if understanding men shows women how to get what they want from men, Lethal Sex shows them how to avoid all the things they don't want from men. And then my first book was called Wealthodology, The Science of Financial Success. It helps you become financially independent. So again, all your decisions about men and relationships are based on the man's merits and not your needs. So helping women become financially straight is one of my missions, one of my goals.
Excellent.
Now, can I say that I also have a website and I have products and services available on the website? I create a special page for your audience, and it's
Absolutely.
Mark.
Absolutely. Let me go ahead and put that in the chat room as well. Go ahead and what is it, Mark?
Okay. It's www.markdulaney, D-U-L-A-N-E-Y,
Mm-hmm.
.com.
Okay.
And if they put a /CH for Kathy Hill or Kathy Holloway, CH, they'll go to a special page made just for your listeners where I put specials for them if they're interested in any of the services.
Fabulous. Fabulous. So you have two methods of signing up for Mark's giveaways. You can either go to my website or go to Mark's website /CH. For this particular show, and then that'll be a good way to keep track of the ones that are signing up for the giveaway. So that's a fabulous process. Thank you, Mark.
Actually, Mark, I don't think they can sign up for the giveaway on my website because I didn't prepare for that. They have to do it on your website.
That's fine. Well, go to my website, sign up for the giveaway, and then Mark has a special, and I just typed it in the chat room, www.markdulaney.com/CH.
And Mark, I just wanted to get clarity on that. Is that a forward or a backslash?
It's forward. It's the one that's below the question mark.
Right. Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, because I just typed it in the chat room. So So getting back to the discussion, and I really want to make sure that that we emphasize this point, and Mark has made a great point as far as us being whole individuals and being who we are. It's really important that we understand that we must be able to be who we are. We must be able to voice our feelings. And if we can't be a best friend to our significant other, then we need to really question the validity or the value of that relationship. That's so critical. The communication is huge.
It really is. Hey, there's something else that I think is really huge that I would like to bring into the discussion for today. And it deals with the issue of being true to yourself, which, again, we talked about. And it's a story. Before I started in this role, I was the guy that most women would say, he's not a good man because he can't be trusted. He likes women. He does all that stuff. And I just want to tell all your women why how you behave is so important in terms of creating good men versus bad men. And it's a complex issue. It's like separating you as an individual woman from the behaviors of all women. So nothing shapes a man more than the women in his life. The woman that I date now gets what's left over or what's been ingrained in me by the women I dated before. So if I am a man and I date a woman and she does everything I want, she gives me everything, she gives me money, she gives me her body, and, you know, she demands nothing in return, and then I come along and, just as an example, Kathy, I meet a woman like you. I meet a godly woman who's hardworking, who thinks that I should be a man. I should be able to take care of myself. I am going to filter how I treat you through that last woman who let me do anything I wanted to her. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Tony, do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And isn't it up to the woman to hold herself in high enough esteem to keep you at bay and show you how she will be treated because of how she feels about herself?
That is true, but the problem, and this is why I bring this up, right now, finding the easy women, the women who do just about everything you want, is so prevalent today, and I think it affects good women as they try to find a man who wants the godly woman, who wants to wait till they're married, the woman who thinks a man should work and take care of himself, the woman who wants a man to be faithful. There are so many women out there who are just so easy. Their self-esteem is so low that just having someone is better than having someone that's worthy of them. So my story is I met a woman who absolutely would not have sex with me. I mean, I tried, I did everything, and I finally gave up on her and said, it's over, we're breaking up. And I know a lot of women are saying, see, that's why you can't be that way. But no, a year later, I came back to that woman because she was special. And because of her faithfulness, and it's a long story, that is the cause of me giving my life to God, because that one woman held out and wouldn't give in to my demands, to my desires. She held true to her own virtue and beliefs. As a result of that, a little bit later, I met the woman who became my wife. And ladies, I really want you to hear this because I think this is really important. I have been with several, and I don't want to say the number, I've been with more women than I'm willing to admit, but there's only been one woman in my entire life that I have loved enough not to have sex with or not to try to have sex with her until we got married. Any man, and ladies, I wish you tell your teenage daughters that this. It does not take a man to love a woman to have sex with her. It takes a ton of love for a man not to have sex with a woman. That's love. And that's the point I wanted to make today.
You want to repeat that? I just want to make sure that everybody understood, because I know we're covering a lot of topics, and that is so critical. So go ahead, say it again.
It does not take any love, warm feelings, or even like for a man to have sex with a woman. But it takes a ton of love for a man to refrain from having sex with a woman because he loves her so much he wants to marry her. That's love. So tell your teenage daughters that when someone says, if you loved me, you'd have sex with me, he doesn't necessarily love her, but he's trying to play on her emotions to get her to do what he wants. It does not take love for a male to have sex with a female. It does take love for him not to, to respect her and love her so much that he's willing to wait for the right time. That's love.
Absolutely. And Mark, I'll say this, because you talk about teenage daughters, and I have a 14-year-old, and we have that father-daughter discussion, and I try to inform her about how young men can be and how they can act and what they'll say and things like that. And one of the things that I say to her is right on that same line, and it is, when a guy says, if you love me, then you'll do this. And I always say to her, tell him, I love myself more than what you want me to do. And if he can't understand that, then he's not the kind of guy that you want anyway.
I have a 14-year-old daughter also, and I think it's a shame that we have to have those talks this early in our daughters' lives, but we really do. And since we're talking about parents, a lot of women wonder, why have men become so undependable? Why have they become so needy? Why do they can't solve problems? Well, I got to go again, and this is not going to win me any popularity, but I think there are a lot of mothers who treat their sons like babies their whole lives. They don't let them make decisions. They don't hold them accountable. They don't make them contribute around the home. And so to them, a woman is supposed to do everything. So they go out, they meet some woman, and they don't want to do anything. And we find a lot of young men today who are men, grown men, working and everything. You know, many of them are saying, I don't need to work. I can just live off of you. You can take care of me. And women are wondering, what's going on? Well, it starts with the women who are mothers. And I'm going to encourage every woman who has sons to make them get up off the couch, make them wash dishes, make them take care of the house. Don't let them sit and watch you do all the work. I meet a lot of women who take out the garbage in their own homes when they've got two sons playing video games. I mean, a lot of women who go out and work all day, come home and cook, and then have to wash dishes and clean up the mess that her two sons or her three sons or her son and daughter or her whatever have left there for her to do all day while they play video games. I'm telling you, ladies, you raise your children to be like the man you'd want to marry. Raise your sons to be men, and they will be better for the next generation of women who come up along with them.
Right, right. And Mark, I'm just going to jump here. I have a question in the chat room, and I want you to talk to this. One of the people in the chat room has said that the question that she always finds herself asking to the gentleman that she's dating, what is it you love about me? So why does she feel the need to ask that question?
Kathy, I can't tell you why she feels the need to ask the question. I think it's a good question. I think it gets them to at least explain and to say something about why. I think what's more important than why someone loves me may be how they want to love me. It may be, what are your intentions for me now that you love me? Are we going to just live together for the next 10 years? I mean, I think that that's a more important question than why do you love me? It is, what are your intentions now that you love me? Where are we going with this? Am I going to spend years with you only to find out that you love me but not enough to marry me? So that's how I can comment to that question.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what she's looking for in asking the question, which is why I'm a little hesitant. I don't know what she's looking for. It's a good question, but it should be followed up with, so what do you want to do with me now? Always want to know somebody's intentions. I think that is the thing that really separates people. The good man from the man for you. What are your intentions for me? What do you want to do with me? So
yes.
I'm interested in you. You're interested in me. Ultimately, what's the most that can happen between us? Are we just going to fool around? Am I just going to be one of your flings? Or are you looking for something serious? Do you want to get married as I do?
Yeah, the bottom line is, if you have to have the same priority. You have to have the same goals, the same priority, the same desires from a relationship. And if you're not headed down that path that matches, then there's something else going on. Now, I have another good question here. Whenever I meet a new guy, this is one that I would like to answer to as far as my own personal experience. But Whenever I meet a new guy, they seem to be more interested whenever I say I'm not looking for a relationship. I'm not looking for a relationship. And that seems to just really bring on the interest, and it's just like, you know, they just really pursue you at that point. So is it the chase, or is it that strong confidence, or what's going on there?
Well, first of all, I would like to say, I think
you're trying to be honest and let the guy know I'm not interested in a relationship. So why do they continue to forge ahead?
Well, I think there's two reasons, and I'm not sure the context of it. Is it we just met and I'm not looking for a relationship, or are we kind of dating and I just don't want to get serious? But I think there's two things. Number one is the challenge. We, and I think women experience this too, we want to turn somebody. We want to take somebody from where they are and make them perfect. I think the second thing, though, is that if I was someplace and I met a woman and she was interested in me, and that's why I say I don't know the context of the question, but if I was out and in my past years, if I met a woman who I thought was attractive who said, I don't want a serious relationship, you know what? That means we just get to fool around for a couple of months with no strings attached. And so that could be what she's experiencing. Somebody says, I don't want a relationship, but you know what? I'm still a woman. I still have needs. Well, I want to be there to satisfy those needs. So I think you need to be careful when you say, I don't want a relationship. Are you saying, I don't want a serious relationship? Or are you just kind of saying, you know, I don't want a relationship at all. I don't want to be around a man. I don't want to date anybody. I don't want to have casual sex. I don't want friends with benefits. I just want to be by myself. Or are you saying, I'm open to friends with benefits. I just don't want a commitment.
And Mark, let me ask you that, because I faced that same kind of conversation myself. So when that happens, really, wouldn't it make more sense for a woman to say either I'm not interested in a relationship with you, or I'm just not interested in a relationship at this time? Because the thing that happens sometimes is a woman may make that statement, but the truth, and I'm just speaking as a guy, the truth that happens sometimes is she's putting it out there for the challenge. It's the hunt and chase kind of thing that goes on, and you can kind of feel it and you can kind of see it. It's like, okay, if you walk away, as a guy, you'll walk away from the conversation. Okay, well, I totally understand. Next thing you know, they're there having a conversation with you, or here's my number, and so they've kind of played a game with you. So how do you address that question, or when a woman says it, what should the woman really say, or is there a certain way she should say it to a guy that gets the message across? Because you're right, men have a tendency to go, okay, well, you know, she said that, and that's cool. So she doesn't want a relationship. I'm not looking for a relationship either, but I am looking for something, so let's go.
Yeah, I think she should be honest. I think, again, it goes back to the being whole conversation, and can you say exactly what's on your mind? I mean, if you really, really want to turn a guy off, you know, I think it was In Living Color. Are you guys old enough to remember that show, In Living Color?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember the sister, Wayne's sister, who had a guy chasing her, and he talked about, oh, yeah, my venereal disease is really acting up, and, you know, I got 17 kids, and, you know, I need money because the rent is due. I mean, she painted such a terrible picture of herself that the guy just ran away.
Right.
That's an approach to take if you really want to get rid of somebody. It's not one I recommend, but it's a funny one I heard on TV. I think the other thing, though, is just plain being honest. Hey, I'm at a point in my life where I really don't want to get involved with anybody. Or, you know what, I'm looking for a husband. I'm not having sex until I'm married. I'm going to keep myself pure, and then my husband, I'm going to rock his world every night. That's what I'm looking for. What are you looking for? I think that's what a woman could say that's very honest, and yet it puts the man now to answer the question, what is he looking for?
Right. And you have to be on the same page as far as that's concerned.
Tony, how does that sound? How does that sound? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Because that is the challenge. I mean, even there are women that I know that are in relationships and they want to stay true and they want, you know, to have a great relationship, and they're approached by guys all the time, and that the guys will ask the question and they'll say, well, I'm not interested, and they'll explain to the guys, I've got somebody in my life. Well, you know how guys can be. Guys will continue, you know, to pursue because they say, well, you're not married, so hey. So I think the honesty aspect of it, even if they say I'm happily in a relationship, I've got someone that I want to be my husband, and he's the one, and you're not. I mean, I think those kinds of things could possibly help the situation.
Mm-hmm. I was talking with Kathy earlier about why guys do stuff that they do, why they're so persistent. And it's an interesting thing to me. And, Tony, you probably, I don't know you, but I bet this has happened to you. A woman will tell you, oh, I don't do this in advance. And it's amazing how often she'll wake up one morning and look at the guy next to her and go, oh, my God, I did it. Women, mm-hmm. see, I always tell women, we don't understand your emotions. We don't understand how you go about making decisions. But the thing most men have learned is how to get women to do what they want. And that's how men get women to do things they never thought they would do. That's how women look around in amazement, wow, how did he get me to do that? I don't get it. Because men understand how to use the emotional and the mothering and the nurturing and the state of a woman to get her to do things she never thought she'd do. I do a workshop called The Devil's Playbook, and it literally shows step by step how people, not just men, but how all people get other people to gradually and stepwise lower their defenses and start to do things they never, ever thought they would do.
Interesting. I'm going to just quickly go to the lines here again, Mark. I want to make sure that we just have listeners versus people wanting to ask questions. And I'm going to go to area code 746. Area code 746, you're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question? Okay. I'm going to move on to area code 757. Are you just listening, or do you have a question? Area code 757.
Hey, Kathy, this is Ms. T. How's everybody?
Hi, Ms. T. How are you tonight?
I am wonderful. Thank you for asking. And you?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Do you have a question for our guest or a comment?
I guess a question / comment, depending on how it comes out. But I just want to know, do you agree or disagree? This is something that I talk about a whole lot as far as, like, women. If we're supposed to have all this power on the inside, you know, and a lot of women in the chat room have said it, and I've heard it all the time about if we as women kind of, you know, we have a standard and we keep to it, do you think men would change it around since we have so much power? Because I talked to a young man before, and he said, you know, T, if women, you know, didn't want the flashy cars, the materialistic things, I mean, all of them, they cared more about their body, how they present themselves, men would have to change, because everybody, for the most part, want to be with someone else. So if women wanted one thing, change their standards, and didn't take men at their lowest point or their bum stubs, whatever you want to call them, wouldn't that make men want to change, and vice versa? Because that means that you're not taking them at this lesser standard, so they're going to want to get got by somebody. So wouldn't that preempt them to change if they change their standards a little bit, women?
Well, Miss T, right?
Uh-huh.
Where is 757? Where do you actually live?
I'm in Virginia.
In Virginia. Okay. Are you experiencing the snowstorm, or is it just rain down there?
Raining. Storm. It's a mix.
Okay. Well, let me answer your question. Mm-hmm. First of all, I believe men have shown their power because they have convinced women that the way to win them over is by having sex with us. Men have somehow figured out a way to use their power to convince women that if you really want me, you will have sex with me. And now more and more women find themselves being sexually active, quicker in relationships, and more frequently. So that power exists. The question is, who should have the power? And I think women are the moral authority of our society. I think that women absolutely have to hold on to virtue. They have to be the guardians of sex. They have to be the ones who make men stand up and be men. And I will just say this to you, Ms. T. You are 100% right. In fact, do you know why all men bathe?
You can tell me. I hope it's because they care about their personal hygiene, but I'm sure you're going to say something more interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to say because there's not a single good woman who will date a man who stinks. Women absolutely draw the line at body odor. Do you agree with that?
I think in my area, in certain areas, no. I don't agree. I agree for the most part, but I know some women, I'm telling you, it's to a point now where men is a necessity. It's like having bread in the refrigerator and milk in there too. I have seen it. I mean, I've seen it, so.
Okay,
maybe,
well, that's sad. That's sad. But the point that I was gonna, the point I wanted to make to you is that women will date men and have children with men who abandon their children. Now, that baffles me. Women will date men who sell drugs, who commit crimes. Women will date men who are married, who have other women. Women will date men who do just about anything, and until talking to you, except not bathe. And so whatever it is that women, and I talked about this earlier, the difference between a woman and all women, women need to get together and have a meeting about how they expect to be treated by men and not to demand anything less. If you want all men to work, then stop dating the men who don't work. If you want all men to treat you with respect, to open the door for you, to be able to take care of you. Now, I didn't say take care of you, but to be able to take care of you, then stop dating those men you have to take care of. So I agree with you 100%, Miss T. And by the way, you have a very powerful voice.
Oh, well, thank you. I use it a lot, so, you know. So I get to strengthen it often, trust me. So, but I thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to check out your book and everything. I'm going to check out your whole website because I really love what you're saying. I just wish we had more men that were proficient in relationships. Goodness.
Wait, you know what, Miss T? Well, Miss T, I'm going to tell you this. There's enough of me to spread this message to all the women in the country if they'll just listen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Miss T, we really appreciate your question. You have been fabulous, and I'm going to go to the next caller here and see if they are just listening or if they have a question. Area code 645, are you just listening or do you have a question? Okay, guess they're just listening. All right. Now Mark, I know we're coming up on our last 15 minutes or so I want to get a few more of these questions in that I got through email. So this question was actually posed a couple of times as well. Whenever I meet a new guy, they seem to be more interested whenever I – well, I'm sorry. I just read that one. That's not the one I'm looking for. Why am I not able to attract and keep – real love from a mate in my life? I am almost 41 years old, and I really don't want to be alone forever. So the question is, why am I not able to meet and attract and keep a real love from a mate in my life?
That is a question that I really cannot answer for her personally. I can talk about some things in general, but obviously I don't know this person.
That's good. That's fine.
So I will say this. I think that every woman wants an attractive man, fit, an attractive, well-groomed man. I think that one of the things that happens to some women when they start to give up is they start to let themselves go. Now, I'm not saying that you should be a size 4 the rest of your life, but I am saying take care of your body. Don't let yourself go, because when that right man comes along, you want him to notice you walking by. Just like I, when I was in my 40s, kept myself up so that, you know, the woman, when my wife walked by, she'd look at me and go, he still looks good. That's one thing. I think the second thing is there are women who literally look like they're eating sour dill pickles 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In other words, they look like they're mad. They look like they're mean. They look like, don't you even think about talking to me.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a good way to look if you're trying to attract somebody. Your physical appearance and your physical outward mystique says a lot about whether you're approachable or not. So be approachable. Let that person come up to you and say something to you. Don't look him off, make him run with his tail between his legs when he looks at you. The third thing, I'm not a new ageist, but I think we all have an aura. I think some people have an aura that says, hey, I am looking. Other people have an aura that says, if you say a word, I will bite your head off. Check your aura. Ask your male friends, hey, do I look like I'm approachable? Do I look, do I act and feel? Does people feel comfortable around me? And then when you do meet somebody, I believe a lot of women because they give in to temptation, ruin potentially great relationships because they don't hold out for the relationship they want. I tell every woman, don't have sex till you're married, then do it every night until your husband says he can't do it every night anymore. And you will be a happily married woman. Now, when I say every night, I don't mean literally every night. I mean figuratively every night. The average single man can have sex as much as he wants. The average married man doesn't have sex nearly as much as he wants. And there's something wrong with those ratios. When marriage becomes the place that men can have sex and great sex and frequent passionate sex, that's when every man will want to get married. But typically, and I listen to men, and I am a man, I can tell you that single men who just want to play the field, that lost brother who's trying to find himself, has seven women calling him wanting to go out and have sex with them, while that good man who's settled and wants to settle down is sitting by the phone by himself waiting for the phone to ring. This is how I say women impact men. They always affect men. So those are some of the things that I think in general, why some women can't be attracted to a man, don't attract men. And I think the other thing is that relationships are very complex. They don't always lend themselves to simple answers. Maybe some people just aren't meant to find that special love. Sometimes our standards are too high. There's just a whole lot of reasons that could contribute to it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer. Thank you very much. Now, this is one that I really want to try to get in before our time runs down, and I knew I was doing the right thing with the 90-minute show tonight, but long-distance relationships. I just want you to talk a little bit on the top three or four, or even five if you have, but the top three or four criteria that is absolutely critical for a long-distance relationship to work. And I don't want to say they can't work and that's just, you know, the end of it because, you know, I know some that have worked and I know some that haven't worked. So in your opinion, what are the top three or four critical criteria that's necessary for a long-distance relationship to be successful?
I think the first one is, what's the end game? Where are we going to end up? Are we going to be doing this for the rest of our lives or is there a point when we live in the same city? I think that's the first thing. I think you can only maintain a long-distance relationship for so long and be faithful to one another. At some point, one person gets tired of having to drive 2 hours to see the other person when there's plenty of people right in their own backyard. So I think the first rule is having an end game that's realistic, that you both agree on. Are we getting married? Are we going to move to each other's city? Or are we going to do this forever? First thing. Second thing is I think you really have to – I think the ones that work are usually, I would bet, of people who want their independence. They really don't want a relationship. They just want someone they can be with when they can, when they can be available, when they have the time, when they have the freedom. Hey, I know I'll get in my car or I'll jump on a plane. I'll go see so-and-so. And then you can have a great weekend. Now, the thing about those relationships is that scarcity creates desire. So the fact that I can only see you once a week or once every month or however often makes me want to see you that much more. And that makes the relationship seem like it's working. And then one day you're in the same city and you see each other every day and you're like, oh, my God, why was I so excited about this? So those are the three things I would be most cautious about or think about. Having an end game and just making sure that you know that you just don't want a long-distance relationship because it's convenient. You don't have to be with the person every day. So those are the things I would kind of look out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would think communication is very critical because you do live in two different cities. So if there is something that's in your spirit or in your heart, and, you know, it's like you said, having the end game, like your end games have to be on the same page. You have to be down the same path. Does your end game match? Do you have the same end game? Are you headed the right direction? Are you headed the same direction? Communication, trust, I would think those things would also play a major role.
That's great. Hey, Kathy, I enjoy talking to Miss T so much. Is there another caller on the line that we might be able to get in real quick for 2 minutes?
You know what? Let me scroll down through here. I know some of the callers I recognize as being weekly listeners. Okay, let's check this out. Area code 212. You're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question for our guest?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Wonderful.
Very well.
I was anxious.
Now I know 212. That's New York City.
It is.
I'm from New York City, so I knew that one. That was easy. What's your name, and how can we help you?
Well, I'm not going to say my name only because my question, I think, comes from so many women's hearts. So for privacy purposes, and normally I'm not shy at all, but you'll see why once I ask the question, because if I say my name, I'm going to edit it. So if you don't mind, let me
okay,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
First of all, just thank you, because it's ironic. I just turned 39 this week, and I've been single, never married, and really want a mate, but I am determined to hold out for that wonderful guy. And I'm a reasonably successful woman that travels all over the country, so it's hard to find that man. And I was talking to a friend of mine last night saying, I'm going to wait for the right person. I've been celibate almost a year, and that's difficult. So I'm so happy to hear what you're saying, and it's no coincidence that I called into the show, and I heard everything you said tonight, and it just gives me extra strength to continue to wait for that guy. But it is difficult as you get older, because you want that mate, but, you know, you can't just make it happen. You can pray for it. So those are just my thoughts, and I'm sure there are a lot of other women out there in my situation that want a mate. They want to get married. They do not want to be a bride after the age of 40, but you want the right mate, not just any mate.
Right. What's your question?
Well, no, I guess just I want to share that thought and just say thank you for everything you said about waiting, but just any special words for women like myself.
I think that the most special word I can give you is when you think about a teenage girl, I don't know that I've ever met a teenage girl who was glad she had sex while she was a teenager. I think they all regret it. They all wish they'd never done it. And I think that however much time it takes before God brings you that person, just think that once he does bring you that person, you're sacrificing this year of fun, but you'll have a lifetime of joy, peace, and happiness with that man. And then you can literally have sex until he can't do it every night anymore. And trust me, you'll enjoy that much more than the fleeting moments you'll have with a man today that you know is not going to be there tomorrow. Does that help at all?
It does, although I'm not a teenager, almost 40.
No, I was just relating to a teenager. You know, we tell teenagers, go to school for 4 years and the rest of your life will be better. They'd rather just drop out and go to work right away or just drop out and hang out. And I'm telling you the same thing. Give it the time, let God do his work, and when he brings you the man, you will have sacrificed a year or two for a lifetime of happiness.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent comment, caller. Thank you so much for calling in, and your words of encouragement and your comments have really helped a lot of women, so we really do appreciate you making those great comments.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mark and Tony, did you have any other closing comments? We're coming up on our last 5 minutes.
Well, I just wanted to, Mark, if you can address this as briefly as you can, and maybe not, and maybe they can consult with you later on. One thing that I've noticed as a man, and maybe you can speak to this as far as women are concerned and what you've seen in your research, but women are attracted to power. And when I say power in so many different ways. You mentioned drug dealers. Confident, take over, take control kinds of guys. And in many instances, that power isn't the right kind of power for them. So can you speak to that? What can women do for themselves to recognize that it's not about the power that the man has for himself, but the power that they have within themselves that makes the most difference for their lives?
Well, I think that there's a certain type of woman attracted to power, and I think that's better than what I've experienced in most of my coaching and most of what I see, which is women who are attracted to men who can't take care of themselves, or women attracted to men who have such great needs that they literally get to be that man's mother. I think whether it's that, which extreme it is, I think it all comes down to the same thing. If you're whole yourself, you recognize what's good for you versus what's just going to be trouble in the future. And I think that that's the best answer I can give for your question, which is the same answer for my question. Why are women attracted to power? Why are women attracted to men who have no power, even not even the power to take care of themselves? It really comes down to, am I whole? Am I strong enough to stand on my own merits so that whoever comes into my life has to make up better, not just someone I'm going to take care of or someone that's going to take care of me? How can we make each other better? That's the briefest and quickest answer I can give to your question.
Great. Thank you.
And, Tony, you know, I like what you said. I really like that because, you know, I have seen that a lot in my experiences and in some of my clients when I talk to them about relationships, although I am a life coach and a career consultant, but I do have some relationship questions that come up. And women do seem to be attracted to power and those types of superficial things, but I also see a lot of instances where men are very visual and men seem to be attracted to the women that have that physical appearance. That physical appearance may be there, but their inner beauty their outer beauty may be there, but their outer beauty may not be nearly as brilliant or bright as their inner beauty. And men seem to focus more on that external than they do that internal. And I don't understand that.
Well, I think that's the way men are wired. That's the way God made
us. Yeah, men
are
wired. They're very visual. Men are very visual.
Right.
And I think sometimes men really miss out on, you know, great individuals because they may just be average on the outside, but they may be super brilliant on the inside as far as beauty is concerned.
Well, Kathy, forgive me for saying this. That's easy for, I mean, as a beautiful woman yourself, I'm sure that, actually, I don't know how that plays in, but being beautiful yourself, my wife's beautiful. I think that beauty, I've seen a lot of women who are not attractive who have great men. So I think, I don't want them to give up hope is all I'm saying.
I agree.
Yeah,
I absolutely agree.
And if I can just add to that. One thing that is more attractive than anything else, and this is to women, is a confident woman, confident in herself, confident in who she is, confident in what she is. If she carries herself that way, when she walks in the room, when she has that conversation, it's much more attractive because I've been with some very beautiful women in my life that after the second conversation, they were the ugliest people I've ever met in my life.
Right.
And so... The confidence is about who you are, how you carry yourself, and what you are to yourself. That's very attractive.
Right.
And, Tony, wouldn't you say quiet?
Hello?
Yeah, we just broke up.
I'm sorry, I'm still here.
Oh, good.
Okay.
You still there, Mark? Mark? You still there? Oh, my goodness, we lost him.
Yeah, I think we just lost him. I think the line just went out. But we've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. My phone went crazy.
Do you do
the drawing now or do you do it later and you send me the results? Can I tell the people about my website one last time before we end?
One last time. We have 60 seconds, so we're counting it down. So I'm going to put it in the chat room, so go ahead.
Okay. MarkDulaney.com/CH for Kathy Holloway. And small c, small h. I have specials up there, like if you get 2 consulting sessions, you get 1 free. I have unwritten books up there, and you can tell me what you think about them. And we're doing a series of workshops that starts in a couple of weeks after Valentine's Day that touch on every single topic that we talked about today. And they're very low-cost teleseminars. And so that's what I wanted to say. MarkDulaney.com/CH. And Tony, you got a great voice. I enjoyed working with you tonight. And Kathy, you're a blessing. I thank you so much. And everyone who's listening, I thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you too, Mark. And again, go to www.chollowayhill.com. Press the radio tab and sign up for Mark's fabulous gifts, and we will get you all taken care of. And we want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. It's been a great topic. The calls that we're holding, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get to you. This was a fabulous show and went very fast. And just email me with your comments and questions, and we will also get you hooked up with Mark and get you taken care of as well. So thank you, everyone. We're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you same time next week. Good night, everyone, and stay warm.